listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Yeah, I learned the game from William Wesley. You can never check me. Back to back for them niggas that didn't get the message. Back to back like I'm on the cover of Lethal Weapon. Back to back like I'm Jordan 96, 97. Whoa. Very important and very pretentious. When I look back at them, I'm glad I gave this attention. Yeah, but it's weighing heavy on my conscience. Yeah, fuck you, left the boy no options. I wanna see my niggas go insane. You gonna make me step out of my fucking frame. You gonna make, what'd you say again? Oh, you gonna make me buy bottles of Charlemagne. You gonna make me go out of my fucking way. I waited 4 days, nigga, where y'all at? I drove here in the rap playing AR app. I'm not sure what it is that really made y'all mad, but I guess this is what I gotta do to make y'all rap. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on Monday. Let's get right into it. This is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search for us, leave us 5-star reviews, and we'll read them on the show on Saturday as long as we like them. If you don't want to do that and you can't be bothered, then just means you're a freeloader and you're a jerk. That's all. For the rest of you guys that we like, we appreciate those 5-star reviews, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get on the like list, it's pretty easy. Leave us a 5-star review. It's that easy. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. And today is 343 days that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail without trial. Which is sad. All right, man. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. And not a lot of time to talk about it, so we might as well just get right into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody had Black Friday, or as I prefer, African American Friday. But last Friday, a lot of people were promoting black-owned businesses. Some people even linked to us.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw people saying, "Hey, if you want to support black businesses, go out to blackouttips.com, sign up for their premium program." And I appreciate the people that did that.
Yes,
but I just gotta let y'all know, we're not a black-owned business.
Are we not?
Big Gay Jew runs the Black Guy Who Tips. That's where we get our funding from. The Big Gay Jew Mafia is out, and the secret is in the streets. Everybody knows. So I would refund the money back, but we're not going to do that. We're going to keep the money.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
When do Jews refund money? Mm-mm.
Hmm.
Jews don't refund money.
Well, that is racist, but that's why we get the funding, because of the racism and stuff like that, guys. I'm sorry. So also, I've been going to the store buying stuff for, you know, it's that time of the year when I'm cooking a little bit more. And I've been noticing a lot of respectability throughout the grocery aisle these days.
What's happening in the grocery aisle?
A lot of respectability politics. Like, everybody knows, you know, I went to go get some olive oil, and it was extra virgin or virgin. Those were the only options I had, extra virgin or virgin.
Yes.
Slut shaming much?
Yeah, that's the only type of olive oil that is.
That's what I'm saying. Where's the promiscuous olive oil? They can't even get a seat in the aisles. I gotta go to the dollar store to get some thought olive oil, some whole olive oil. I gotta
would not want that olive oil.
I just want my olive oil to be free to be itself and not be repressed sexually and to do whatever it can do in the pan. You know what I'm saying? I'm not afraid of a little gently used olive oil, Karen.
I am sexist. Nope.
Yeah, okay. So you one of those people promoting respectability slut shaming of olive oil. I see. Okay.
I sure am. I want virgin and extra virgin. All you other bitches stay out my kitchen.
That's sad. It's really sad to see a woman say that.
Mm-mm, I don't want you in there fucking up all the taste of my meal. No, thank you.
I don't recall you wearing white at our wedding, but okay.
No, I did not.
I see how it is. Mm-mm. It's good for, not good enough for you, but it's good for the olive oil. Okay.
Right. Because this is completely different.
No, it's not. What's the difference?
I'm not fried chicken.
You don't know. You don't know the difference.
No.
Maybe some slutty olive oil to make good, better fried chicken. You never tried it. You don't know. You just assuming stuff.
Mm-mm.
And you don't even know.
Mm-mm. Nope. I don't want no cheap ass olive oil.
You don't know that it's cheap. So because it's had a couple people come through it before you did, it's cheap now?
Now you know,
what kind of insecure stuff is that?
You know, the rural virgins are more valuable.
To some people, not right. To me. Not to me. I don't believe in that. I like a little experience on my olive oil. Nothing wrong with that. Like my olive oil to know itself.
I like mine cold pressed. I'm good.
I don't even know what cold pressed means. Do you know what that means? What does that mean?
It's the way the process in which they get the oil to be like it is.
Also, I noticed more respectability in the grocery aisle. I went to get some buttermilk, and the only options they had was cultured buttermilk. Fuck that. Nah, I don't want cultured buttermilk. I want some cut buttermilk that's actually been in these streets.
I don't want
seen no- some shit, lived a life. I want a full, complete buttermilk. You know what I mean? If I don't want this bougie ass buttermilk that y'all bring me that knows how to quote like Aristotle and shit. I want some buttermilk that listen to Tupac.
Nope, I don't want no buttermilk. Shoot me up and shoot my belly up when I eat it because it's done poisoning me. No, thank you.
Nah, you see, something's wrong. See, you just helping the white man out believing this bullshit.
Karen. I sure
that's
am.
That's the same thing white people say about us. Oh, we'll take Ben Carson. He's cultured. He's a cultured black person.
Right.
Well, that's true. How people feel about buttermilk too, Karen. Intersectionality.
Buttermilk is not the goddamn same.
Intersectionality throughout the grocery store. I'm out for respectability for everybody to get it off of us.
Mm-mm.
Let's get free.
Nope. I don't want no curdled buttermilk. No, thank you.
All right, fine.
I'm trying to die.
All right, we have.
I'm trying to be equal. No, thank you.
Yeah, you're not gonna die. Why? So it's like black people's gonna kill you. That's how they keep you scared.
You get some uncle. You don't know that. I don't want that bullshit trying to kill me. No,
you don't know that it's gonna kill you. You just made that up just now. Where'd you find out that uncultured buttermilk kills people, Karen?
I don't know. I don't want none.
We've never read an article on the show about uncultured buttermilk.
Well, who
killing
the fuck
people?
Is drinking this uncultured buttermilk?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm intellectually curious about trying it, and you poo pooing all my ideas today.
I sure am. You kill all the germs and bacteria out of it doing that process.
Well, you know that buttermilk chicken you had last night?
Mm-hmm.
It was uncultured.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
No, it was not.
It was old fashioned. You didn't even know the difference. You said it was delicious last night.
It was good.
Exactly.
But the I don't believe you, Harris DeTito would not do this to me. I don't believe you, sir.
The difference between culture and old fashioned buttermilk. Carry Fries applies. What we call old fashioned or churn buttermilk is very different from culture buttermilk. It is the thin, slightly acidic liquid left after churning butter from the full cream milk. It is drunk or used in soups or sauces in Northern Europe and South Asia, but is not available commercially in the United States. See? So I had to go on the black market to get mine. The buttermilk sold in the supermarkets here is cultured, created by fermenting pasteurized low-fat or non-fat milk so that the milk sugars turn into lactic acid. It is thick and tart, a result of its increased acidity, which keeps the milk protein casein from being soluble and results in clabbering and curdling. That is why you can make a stand-in for buttermilk by using a tablespoon of lemon juice or white vinegar to an actual cup of milk and increase the acidity and curdle the milk. So you paying all that extra money for nothing, man. Old-fashioned and cultured buttermilk cannot be used interchangeably. Cultured buttermilk is used in pancakes, scones, biscuits, and other baked products. Because of the tangy flavor and tender texture it imparts.
What's a scone?
Scone, it's like, I don't know, like a cookie in Europe.
Okay.
Anyway, sound like you're doing some hating over there now. At least the audience has been educated.
Oh, hate. I hate you. I hate you too. I don't want no virgins in here. I don't want no uncultured buttermilk, no.
Wait, you don't want no virgins?
No, I mean, I do want my virgins.
Okay.
I don't want no thought olive oil.
Mm-hmm. All right. Some kind of sex positive woman you are.
I'm sex positive till they come to my olive oil.
Mm-hmm. Erykah Badu apparently hosted the Soul Train Awards last night. I didn't watch any of that. I was watching Walking Dead and then the Badlands and football. I couldn't get around to my girl Erica last night. I'm sure it was awesome. I heard that she shaded Iggy Azalea.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Let me see if this will play. Oh wait, where's the volume on this? Okay, apparently I had the volume off.
Yeah, because random videos was playing last time.
All right, let's see if it'll play now.
Hang on one second. I'm sorry, y'all. Yes. Who is this? Iggy Azalea. Yeah, hey. Oh, no, 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 no. You can come, because what you're doing is definitely not rap. Yeah.
So
she had jokes.
First of all, my man from Classic Man got the best smile ever after that joke. He looked so satisfied. But apparently she said that, as you know, I'm the queen of neo soul, and people say I have this common effect on rappers that I make them change gods and wear crochet hats, shoulder pads. So they have banned me from all the hip hop awards with the sign saying Erykah Badu, leave our rappers alone.
She do make them change, man. They get a piece of her. They be coming back in African kunte cloth and don't comb the hair and using black soap come back on the screen and all the other kinds of shit. You act like people don't see the change, woman.
Yeah, well, she, you know, I guess, you know, in the monologues, that's when you kind of make jokes about yourself and all the stuff that people want to hear. So in her monologue, she was making this joke. And then she had the Iggy Azalea fake phone call where she said that she could come through because she's not a rapper, which is hilarious.
Yeah, we see you, Erykah. And I understand. And she was like, you know what? You can come on through because, you know, you really don't rap. So you cool.
Yeah, you might want to just take that L.
Yeah.
You know, you probably want to leave Erykah alone at this point. Things are going tough enough for you as is.
Right.
And you just want to pretend this didn't happen.
You don't want them troubles.
Monica says don't mess with her man at a North Carolina show. Mm. The R&B singer recently performed at a concert in North Carolina where she took the time to shut down women who were trying to get that Kelly Price on with her husband, Shannon Brown. You guys may know Shannon Brown from Groovitail fame.
Laker dude, right?
Yeah. He was the one who laid it on some woman. Had the whole chat, the whole comment section thirsty.
Monica must got hold of them Groovitails.
Monica stopped the audience singing As We Lay during her Code Red experience to let groupies know she's not the one.
We lay.
Damn.
What, you turn around and went back to singing?
I'll tell you what,
only black women
make you believe that Groovitail.
Yeah.
Monica celebrated 5 years of beautiful love with Shannon just last week, so you already got people at the concert disrespecting. That's they must have heard the Groovitail, man.
Mm-hmm.
At the concert disrespecting. And you know Monica always got that little bit of like hood to her too, you know what I mean? Like she got some of that, like I'm gonna put on my red wig tonight and stunt on these hoes,
right? And it's beautiful,
right? So I don't know why anybody would think she would have been the one to try like that. I can't even believe that.
I already told you the boy's mine years ago,
right?
You better listen.
That's how half of y'all heard of her. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about? This drew up quite the discussion on my Facebook page. People was going in on each other. People was accusing people of shit. Like, you know, I typically hate when people do that shit on my Facebook page, and I try to stay out of it as much as I can, because normally I have to end up blocking or deleting people because motherfuckers like to go argue on your page like you're not friends with everybody.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, right. I'm gonna call these people this.
Make a personal
and then
you're
supposed to
shit.
Just sit here and be like cool with it. Like, oh, well, that's what it is, you know? But it was from blackgirldangerous.org, which they had a write up by Jelani Smothers Pugh. I hope I pronounced that right. Sorry if I didn't, Jelani. But she wrote open letter to Aziz Ansari and other anti-black people of color. And, you know, he has this series called Master of None. It's on Netflix. I have not watched it yet, but I've heard all the buzz around it. I've seen some of the commentary around it. Some of it makes me want to watch it because out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. And some of it makes me feel like, why even bother? Because everybody just has these like really hot takes on it. And it's like, you know, now I'm going to be going in not really prepared to laugh, but analyzing every single joke and shit. And it's like, maybe I shouldn't even watch it. But I think I'm going to watch it anyway, just so I can know what the fuck everybody is talking about at this point, because so many people have had things to say. And, you know, we talked about on the show, like, he has tried to make himself kind of the front man for diversity in sitcoms and TV as the selling point for his show. So he goes on Colbert and he talks about the lack of diversity there. And it's like, you know, like that's his talking point. So when you accept that mantle, you have to accept the criticism that comes with that mantle. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm gonna be out front on this diversity shit, but hey, no one criticized my stuff. Like, that's not really fair anyway. And from what I've seen, he and his writing staff seem to have embraced being criticized, and they're kind of hoping to have a season two where they can kind of delve into some of this stuff, which is, I think, is the appropriate reaction. I think it's a good reaction to have. I think Mindy Kaling had a horrible reaction to it when she kind of just poo-pooed the whole thing, like, whatever, you know. You know, we'll see what happens with it. Anyway, I wanted to read this because in general I kind of hate open letters to celebrities anyway, because, you know, I don't know how often they read this shit or care or take this into account, but you know, and most of the time it's actually just a thinly disguised way to get your point across, but then pretend that you're addressing this person. Anyway, so she writes, "Dear Aziz Ansari, I heard what you said on Master of None. When I first saw you get dragged on Tumblr for being anti-black, I gave you the benefit of the doubt. I watched the Indians on TV episode for myself, hoping to see if your character's harmful words have been taken out of context. They weren't. Frustrated by the lack of Asian representation in Hollywood, your character Dev lashed out at black and gay people. He said, people don't get fired up about racist Asian or Indian stuff. I feel like you only risk starting a brouhaha if you say something bad about black people or gay people. Not only was this ignorant, but specifically I want to call attention to how it was anti-black and homophobic, but that's for another article." So the homophobic part, not today, but it was anti-black. That entire scene you wrote between Denise, Dev, and Brian Ching was really telling of how out of touch you are with blackness, and the ways you perpetuate anti-blackness as a non-black person of color. After the brouhaha moment, Dev continued to defend his anti-black position. I mean, if Paula Deen had said, "I don't want to serve Indian people," no one would really care. They just go back to eating the biscuits. which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And probably true.
Right.
Cause, you know, the history here is different for black people than it is for people that have immigrated here. Also, the treatment is a bit different, as we don't really see the mainstream prejudice against Indian people in that way. And you know what I'm saying? In the way where they go, "Hey, no Indians allowed." You know what I'm saying? Not that it doesn't ever happen, but we just have, like, we don't have the historical context here to really make that an apt comparison, in my opinion.
Yeah, what, they're not laws and shit like that today drumming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe there's laws like that they made for black people that might apply to some other brown people, but like, in general,
to get lumped in.
Yeah, the historical context of slavery and things of this nature are just not the same. Like, it's just like, you can't just co-opt that. And you know, me personally, I do always kind of shy away from the oppression Olympics when it comes to stuff like this, because a lot of times it just creates a lot of harm, like a lot of what do you call it, a lot of infighting. It's like a lot of like, well, we both should kind of be on the same page for, you know, wanting everybody to get free and equal and treatment and shit, but then we'll sit up there and be like, well, gay people, if the Duck Dynasty people would have been talking about gay people, they would have been off the air. You know, stuff like that, where you hear black people say that and you're like, yeah, man, but is that really, like, I understand your point, but does that, like, who's the enemy here? Like, it doesn't turn gay people into the enemy, because if it happened to them, something would have been done about it. Like, that's still, you know, and hopefully it doesn't turn gay people into thinking that the vice versa, you know, like, well, hey, it's not my problem because blah blah blah, you know, not to mention there are gay black people that exist in the world.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, so she says, while the struggles of black folks are front and center, it doesn't mean anything is actually getting better. Look at the types of representation black people have in Hollywood. Think about why the media is still writing and casting dehumanizing anti-black stereotypes. Think about why the media still uses colorblind language that perpetuates white supremacy. Just because news stations are flashing our dead black bodies across the street and computer screens across the nation, and Paula Deen fakes an apology to keep her brand, does not mean that we're achieving justice. It just means that we are visible, but hypervisibility means nothing when black folks continue to be persecuted and slaughtered in the streets without justice. And I agree that individually, I agree with all her arguments. I think tying them all together, not necessarily that they all come together so clean, but I agree that, yeah, black people still having problems out here. Even what you hearing about Black Lives Matter, it's because there's a need there. You know what I mean? Like, there's not if Indian people were being shot dead by the cops in the street, there would be an Indian Lives Matter.
Yes, it would be.
If there were these controversies that were happening to Asian people, they weren't being addressed at all, and it got to a point where it was a deluge and someone stepped into that vacuum, it would fill up, because the same thing happened with Sui Park when she went at Colbert, and there were people that still argue the merits of that point, but she was heard because she was like, it was a whole lot of Asian people being like, yo, we're tired of being the butt of this joke. Over and over and over again, you can go to our stereotypes and somehow that's not offensive. You can do the broken English. You can put on that hat. You can, make your eyes, you know, slanted and shit. And yeah, we're tired of it. Like, that's not us. And we don't think it's funny. We think it's, might as well be blackface. You know what I mean? So, I can relate to that point, you know? So then she goes on to say, when Denise pointed out that Paula Deen's apology was insincere, your character shut her down and made it about your own community's lack of visibility, as if it is black people's fault or responsibility. Dev continued, we don't have a person like that, Al Sharpton. Like, who are you supposed to meet with? Deepak Chopra, the Indian dude from No Doubt? Once again, these are jokes, and it seems right. Like, she's taking it 100% serious, even in the context of it being a sitcom.
Correct.
Which, you know, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that if you are brown or black and you're writing something, you have to meet a certain criteria for your points of view. You can't ever disagree with the majority of black people, or you can't ever have a character who is reprehensible and isn't learning. Like, you can't have a protagonist that's flawed. I just think black and brown people and women, we just aren't there yet, apparently, mm-hmm. in society, where we can write a character as a person of color who's a creator, where we can write a character who's outside of our box. You know, we're not able to do that yet. Maybe we'll never be there. I don't know. But we're not able to have a Seinfeld. Like, Seinfeld is a show about four friends who are pretty much reprehensible people.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shit, going all the way back to like Archie Bunker and shit. Like, people revere and love those people while also admitting that those people are not good people, or they are flawed, or they have hangups that, you know, we're like, yeah, that's not good, that's bad, that he was wrong in this situation, but most importantly, was he funny? Because as content creators, I think you and I both can speak to that. The number one thing is being entertaining.
Right. And the thing is, and I've always, it's particularly when it comes to women, particularly women of color, I feel very strongly about, we are not allowed to have any diversity. We are not allowed to just exist. We are, you know, it's like, if you're right, particularly black females. It's one of these things where the black female, she's got to be perfect. She can't be flawed. She can't be baby mama. She can't be out here hoeing around. She right. can't be the mistress to a white man, you know, or whatever is your hangup is. It's like a lot of people come to the table with these things with their personal hangups versus looking and viewing something in the way that the creator created it for you to view. Now, I do understand that when you view stuff, there is, you are justified in pointing things out and saying things are flawed and demanding more. I'm not saying that that's not a problem. And I do understand that because that's how diversity, is applied, and that's how, you know, people hear you out and things change. But on the other hand, I think that some people automatically see shit and they're automatically turned off and they don't have an open frame of mind and they don't come to laugh. They come to cut. They come to dissect. They come to tear apart. They're not there for the fun of it. And everything is wrong and nothing this person is doing is right. And that's why I buck against that, because the part of creativity is allowing that person to tell you the story the way that they choose to. Is it going to be flawed? Yes. Is it going to be perfect? No. But at the same time, you allow that character to do that. And in other genres, particularly when it comes to white comedies, and particularly when it comes to white males, they are allowed to do any goddamn thing they want to, no hold bars, and it's considered funny, you know. And that upsets me. And I think that, you know, and it's a lot of black people that watch a lot of this stuff, and we think it's funny, we think it's hilarious, and we should, because it's good, it's well written. You know, I do understand the criticism, because the criticism needs to always be there, because it always presses the bar, it always makes them think outside of their box, it makes them consider people of color on certain platforms. But at the same time, the same freedom that a Seinfeld gets, I think that other shows should get these same freedoms, you know, regardless of how good or bad or indifferent or how you feel about the show. But I buck against a lot of the criticism, especially when it comes to, let's say Scandal. Olivia on Scandal gets so much criticism because she's a side chick. She gets so much criticism because she's dating a white man. She gets so much criticism because she's flawed. What's the difference between her and the other 500 motherfucking shows where you have a white woman on there doing the same goddamn thing, but you rave about it? She wins Oscars, she wins awards and all this shit. I don't see the difference. And a lot of times I think because black people in general, and just brown people in general, have a hang up at how white people view us, and we have to be perfect in white people's eyes to a lot of black people. And if we're not presented in a certain way, all of a sudden there's problems and there are issues. And a lot of times people bring their politically correctness to every motherfucking thing, and that irritates the fuck out of me, because I'm to the point where I'm like, let us be free. Let us make bad shit. Let us make good shit. Let us make funny shit. Let us make all types of shit. Let black people be in all these genres that we never ever would even get considered, because there are black people who have these ideas, but their ideas constantly get turned down because they feel like black people have to be put in a box. The brown people, period, have to be put in a box, because the same way I feel about black people, I feel about Indian people, I feel about Chinese people, I feel about all these people, because at the end of the day, we're all being oppressed by white supremacy. But everybody looks at every other group and act like my oppression is greater than yours, or your oppression is greater than mine, when at the end of the day, is the way that the structure is designed against us, so that we'll infight against each other versus demanding that it becomes better, and also demanding that we have the same platform as white people. We are allowed to go out there and to fail. You know, that's one thing about black people when it comes to this genre. We are not allowed to fail. They will end the show, cut a show, get shit off the air for us, when you are allowed to have terrible ass white shows that go on forever, that should have got canceled 5 seasons ago. They won't even get the fucking chance because they're brown people in the shows. You have like all these reality shows happening, and they wanted to do a reality show about Muslims, and that shit got canceled before it got off the ground because people had a fucking fit because of their racism. And a lot of this,
but hold on, all this is beside the point of what this person is writing though. Like, I don't think this person is advocating that the white people are right to take the shows off the air, or trying to keep brown people from having voices. I think she's critiquing his voice,
right?
Because and because you can still be brown and still have issues within your mind frame about other brown people.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's just like I just don't think that she necessarily is like that. She just has to be right. I think people are looking at it like you can't disagree with her and still be pro-black, pro-black woman, pro, like, I feel like you can disagree with some of her points the same way that people disagree with some of Aziz Ansari's jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when it comes to the comparison game that people do amongst friends, which is the context of this situation that he's trying to make funny, for the record, he's not trying to necessarily make the correct political statement as much as the number one thing, and I think any comedian would tell you this, is to make the most entertaining or funny version of that.
Right.
You know, and like I said, maybe he turns out to be wrong. I really need to watch it for myself. I don't want to speculate on it any further than that, but just the concept of having to be the perfect type of black person, brown person, minority creator, perfect woman, it's a lot of pressure. And yes, I think in a lot of times it's just as confined in a box as a creator, because now it's like everybody wants me to create the Cosby Show. Like, I can't be black and create, you know, like if I create Empire, there's a bunch of people on Facebook talking about I'm not woke, and then making pictures of, you know, minstrel shows and shit and putting Empire on it.
Right.
But then if I make Blackish, there's a bunch of people going, and I'm talking about black people, I'm not even talking about white people, I don't really care what they think about this, but there's a bunch of black people that'll be like, well, now this has too much respectability politics. They think the Cosby's or some shit, like, why can't black people do this, that, and there's so much pressure as a black person to walk a thin line. You don't really get that freedom. You don't get the creative freedom to have a protagonist that can't, that's disliked, but on a strictly artistic value. Like, you don't, like, what, like, the next stage is, and now this represents this problem in society, as opposed to this conversation was supposed to represent the dichotomy of this kind of how we operate in America. Like, that you do have these situations where, and I've been in conversations like this, I've seen other black people that I disagree with in conversations like this that have had the, you know, the moment where they're like, yeah, I guess black people do have some level of privilege in this country when it comes to certain spaces.
We do.
And a lot of black people don't want to give on that at all, because it's like, well, we still getting killed in the streets. It's like, well, I don't think that this joke is saying that that's okay.
No.
Like, that's not what I got from the joke. Maybe somebody else would get it differently, or, you know, maybe that's how you got it. Or more importantly, with this person who wrote this, I think they were triggered into thinking about the other times that this did happen to them, that it wasn't a fucking joke, that it wasn't,
right,
that the conversation wasn't in a sitcom that had a punchline and it wrapped up in 30 minutes and we all understood that it was going to be okay because we're still friends. They're just thinking about their real life experience and they can't get past it. Like, they're just like, nope, I want this person to win this argument. That's what has to happen in order for us to move on through the show. And because he did not really allow for this person to win the argument, and they kind of conceded that he had a point, that pissed this person off. So you have to frame the conversation as if black representation is an opposition of South Asian representation, stifle what could have been a valuable lesson, a discussion. You shut down an opportunity for dialogue. You could have scripted a nuanced response. Instead, you scripted Denise to reply, "Who's my girl?" Like Oprah or Beyonce. Oh shit, I got the heavy hitters. Never mind. Cause, you know, he was like, "Who's our guy? Deepak Chopra or the Indian dude from No Doubt?" And then she says Oprah and Beyonce, and she's like, "Oh shit, I guess we do have bigger, better named black people in America than you have Indian celebrities or whatever." The final nevermind took space away from Denise, who could have offered a rebuttal to your character's anti-black racism. So basically she needed to kind of win the argument or present the points like she would have presented. Now, the other thing too that's weird about this is the show has him as the star, but I'm willing to bet he's not the only guy in that writer's room. Willing to bet he's not the only person of color in that writer's room. Like, that was a big thing to his diversity thing. So what do you say when there are people who still have diversity in mind, still have these discussions in mind, but they agree to let this scene be written this way. You know what I mean? Because what I found on my Facebook thread was that people were like leveling accusations at each other, where I was like, y'all do realize that it's kind of making the point for him, and for like, people are going to disagree. Now, you can take it there and start calling each other out, you know, massage noir and saying people are just outrage culture and all this shit because y'all don't agree with each other. But how's that productive?
It's not.
It really does lend itself to the fact that you can't have this discussion other than in the context of a couple jokes on the show, because y'all can't even do it with each other and maintain that respect level. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking at this shit like, wow, somebody hit me with that, I really can't fuck with them anymore.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you're accusing people basically of hating black women, hating women of color for disagreeing with this piece, even if they're using logic, even if they're not going in and being like, black women be complaining, you know how, you know these bitches, like, even if it's nothing like that, even if it's just simply like, I think, you know, her logic's flawed, boom. Or even, or the other way, when people are like, yo, I kind of have this experience and I agree with some of the points she's making, I've gone through this discussion, and people are like, outrage culture, dismiss the whole thing. I'm like, damn, y'all really got up in arms over this little shit that fast?
Right, because people really don't want to have a conversation about it. They already come, like, if you disagree with me, fuck you, and well, you're not really having a conversation, and nothing can evolve from it, and neither side is willing to see the other side or either, like I say, have a real conversation.
Yeah, but it was just, I don't know, it was just interesting. I have to watch the show now, because that's really what it made me want to do. You know, and then this person who wrote it, Jelani, she goes into her experience as a person, a black person, who got shut down by a non-black person of color after a Black Lives Matter protest. And I think that's kind of the common thread is, boom, you got kind of triggered by this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into, this is what happened to me, and I'm still pissed about that. You know, I left feeling unheard, ignored, and ostracized. Ever since that day, I have noticed how quickly non-black people of color shut down black people and avoid taking responsibility for upholding white supremacy through their anti-blackness. You know what I mean? Like, that sounds like you holding on to that from that and then taking it to this show.
Right, which had nothing to do with that.
In my opinion, I don't know, maybe, you know, I gotta watch it.
My opinion too,
I'm going by her description of the events and other people who I trust that have watched it, but I don't know, man. Like, my goal here isn't to shut down anybody. If I think here's the thing that I think everyone was kind of skipping over, Aziz and the people that run the show decided to be the face of diversity for Hollywood. This is on them. Like, you don't get to skirt it. Like, there's other times where I see black creators do something and people come down on them. I'm like, yo, that person is just giving their singular voice to the world. Like, they're not actually trying to represent every type of black, every person that they're like, they didn't go, all right, let me poll black people, how should I end my episode? They didn't do that. So I don't, you know, so when they catch a lot of flack, a lot of times I'm like, yeah, that's on you and the insecurity that you have as a black person to then put it on this creator. Like, whenever people go hard on Tyler Perry, I don't like that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't watch Tyler Perry movies.
Nope.
I don't think they're good.
Mm-mm.
That being said, I don't like to see black people talk about what he needs to do with his money and his platform. I think it's fucked up. White people already do that shit to us constantly. Why the fuck would you want to keep, why would you want to keep perpetuating that, man? I don't understand it. Like, if anything, we need to be asking that other black creators be given a shot, not let's take away what was given, or why don't you stop creating and give your platform over to someone else? Someone who chooses that someone? Who chooses that? Because that's the other thing we're asked. So if Tyler Perry chooses who, then they gonna sound like Tyler Perry too. That's not a solution. The solution is Lionsgate or whoever the studio is, they need to be looking at other black people because they made money off of black people right now with Tyler Perry. Why wouldn't they want to make money, more black money from other people? You know, that's always the solution. I think us turning on each other is always not productive. You know, one guy was saying, well, when you have a big platform, you have a responsibility. And if you don't use your responsibility wisely, then you don't deserve that platform.
Who determines what wisely is?
Who determines what deserve is? What deserves what? Because that makes it sound like everybody that's got a big platform has earned it in some right, by having the right set of opinions.
We know.
Holler at Rush Limbaugh. Does Rush Limbaugh got the right set of opinions to y'all?
Talk to Donald Trump.
Right. Like, that don't mean shit. Ain't no deserve. In America, there is no such thing as deserve when it comes to capitalism. Period. Now, I look at shit a little different because I am a content creator. And I look at things like products. When I see Aziz Ansari talking about diversity when he goes on a show, it's because that's his pitch to sell his show. It's a show starring a brown guy with some brown people in it, with some, hopefully some brown people in the writing room. Even if all his love interests are white women, he is going to pitch diversity because that is the easiest way to pitch his product. It's an angle that other shows can't necessarily come at him from.
True.
Many other shows will be like, oh, okay, we can't say we have a diverse cast at Modern Family. Like, we just can't.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? What is the thing that separates his show from other shows? It might not be perfect, but it's brown as fuck. That's how he's looking at it. It's brown, and we're making jokes. That's it. So I look at it like a product, and I think people that consume don't always look at it that way. Because when you say mm-hmm. things like earn or deserve or responsibility, you're just really ignoring a ton of history that shows that there's no such thing as having to be responsible with a platform for adults.
Nope.
There simply is not. Too many people, Fox News is rewarded for just being generally irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the number one news network.
In America, yes sir.
And that's news, not entertainment. That is news. You believe in some bullshit if you think that's what's happening. Now you might, and also, who fucking determines what is good and bad when it comes to morality? Everybody don't believe the same thing, guys. Mm-mm. America is divided. The world is divided. Men and women are divided. Races are divided. We do not believe the same shit. So the end results of who watches what and who gets what is not a meritocracy. It is not how it works. There are good people that will never amount to shit because they have the wrong beliefs that are not popular, no matter how right they are.
Yes, sir.
There are bad people who are making money hand over fist right now. Because they just happen to come up with the right wrong shit at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be adults about that if we're going to have a discussion, or else we just can't discuss it. Because it's like, there are people that would look at our show and be like, it's not doing the right things. They need to do better. They need to change this and they need to do that. To which, you know, for the most part, I'm like, fuck those people. Make a better show than me.
Ain't that the truth?
Go out there, make the show you want to see. Ain't nobody stopping you. Because nope. My answer is always to get more voices, not less. Don't try to change my shit. Go make your own shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like
that's it's harder than it looks, and that's the thing. It's right. Easy for people to sit back and tell you how you can improve, how you can do better, what you can change, what you can do. But at the end of the day, most of those people yik-yakking and talking and flapping their gums are not going to put in the effort, and they're not going to... And what even fucking makes me mad, they don't even go support the shit they're talking about. That's what makes me even more furious. You're talking this shit, but a lot of times you don't go support the shit that you're talking about because you really don't want it.
What is the responsibility? I want to know. Who determines that? Like if I have an episode of my sitcom and I want it to be about abortion and I want it to be pro-choice at the end, some of y'all gonna say that's a very responsible thing to do. I appreciate you doing that with your platform. Some of y'all gonna say fuck you, I'm pro-life and you're an evil spawn of Satan for saying that shit. And that's America, which is very divided. Who decides?
Right.
Like, there are moms out there who don't want you to have Grand Theft Auto because their 12-year-old can't play it. Despite all the restrictions on how a 12-year-old is not supposed to be able to get it, she don't want you to have it because, fuck it, it's irresponsible.
Right.
Who gets to decide? Like, if we're going to be, like, we have not all decided on these rules and these boundaries. You know, there are black people who do agree with Aziz's point in the context of that episode. Which is, for the record, that's all sitcoms and stand-up, when stand-up people get get gigs, like gigs doing other things, writing and stuff. That's all they're trying to do, fashion their point of view into something funny. Now, it might not be funny. It's definitely not gonna be funny to everybody,
right?
You know, obviously this lady did not appreciate them jokes
at all,
but at the same time, that's all they're doing. Like, they're not actually, like, they're not actually gonna become anybody from these fucking jokes. Like, the thing is, okay, I want to come up with a way that can get you on my side with a point of view that's a little off kilter. That's just a stand up, you know, that's just a stand up thing. People just might not agree with that point of view. You know, it's like if, just like, you know, we started the show with the cultured buttermilk and the extra virgin olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a joke and it's coming from an odd point of view. I'm not trying to actually get people to make slutty olive oil. I don't even know what that would mean. But I feel like the joke of it is worth doing, and I think that's what people have, like, whenever people don't agree with the premise of your joke, they immediately make it seem as if you're being serious.
Correct.
Like, oh, nope, he meant that as in the worst possible way possible. Could not have meant it to get a laugh, could not have meant it as a conversation between friends where they disagree, but they get some jokes off and they let it go because they don't really give a fuck. Couldn't have been that. He meant it as, I'm anti-black, I don't want black people to prosper, and I think black people have it easy, and all this shit. That's the only way he meant it. And it's very weird that we do that, but we've had it done to us. Somebody doesn't agree with a joke, all of a sudden Ryan Parks in all veteran spaces because he beat Call of Duty. Right? When they don't agree with the joke, it's, you know.
You fat.
Now I'm serious. Now I'm serious is what I'm trying to get to.
Right.
Now I'm serious. Like, that was, I made 12 jokes in a row. The joke you don't like, the premise of, that one's the serious one.
Yeah, that one's a non-funny joke.
That's very, I don't know, it's very weird to me. But anyway, all that to say this, he still put himself out there and his writing crew as trying to be the face of diversity. And this is what comes with that.
Yes, it does.
Like,
now,
you sold your shit this way. Yes. Now, I don't understand how anybody can be mad at this person for writing the piece.
Mm-mm.
Because he did sell it this way.
Right.
So that does mean that people should examine it this way. I don't feel like that's wrong.
Nope.
You know, I feel like if we were, like, because people will often say shit to us like, hey man, you should do this on the show, or have you thought about that? And I'll be like, no, because the number one thing I want the show to be is entertaining and funny and informative and shit, but I'm not actually trying to make the most politically correct show on the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make the show with no jokes. I'm not trying to turn this into NPR.
Nope.
We have a certain vibe. Me and Karen have conversations about what we want the show to be, and that's what it is. And we take the good and the bad with that. Some people will not fuck with us. Some people will. But like, things like this, I feel like people look at it from just the perspective of consuming. I think some people should take a look at what would they create if they were there, and how would it be received? You know, because it's very difficult to have that balancing act. But as a product, a season's already is out there pitching diversity as, I'm the diversity guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't ever want to be the guy for shit.
Oh, no.
When people are like, hey, why don't y'all talk about relationships? I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that. That's not my goal. Can we just be funny and entertaining? We don't need to be the people. We don't need to be the go-to people for everything on racism and everything on this and everything on that. Like, I don't want to be that. I'm not an activist. Is why I shy away from that title.
Good, me either.
You know what I mean? Like, we're good in our lane. This guy stepped up and said, I want to be a leader on this. I think it's good that he's challenged. I think it's good that he's thinking about it. I think his fans and fans of the show would do well to ease off of people criticizing the show. The shit, it goes so far with people these days. Everyone's so defensive of the shit that they like. It's okay. You know what I mean? I see people shitting on The Walking Dead every fucking week. I still enjoy it, and I'm still reviewing it, and I don't need to argue with you about it. I'm good.
Man, I'm not.
If I enjoyed it and I got them laughs, what can they do? Take my laugh away with their think piece? No. So I think people were getting, and like I said, I saw it on both sides. Like, I saw people coming for people that disagree, and I saw people coming for people that agree with the piece. And to me, the whole thing was just hyperbolic, and it was really sad to see, especially on my Facebook page. Like, it wasn't even a Facebook group. It was in my page. I was like, wow, okay. So you think that about the other people that, okay, all right, cool. You think I would kick it with folks like that? got it. You know what I mean? Like, like it's amazing, and it's all because of, you know, this piece, man. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting discussion, and I wanted to talk about it here. Let's see what else is going on. You know, that guy shot up Planned Parenthood. So more stuff is coming out about him, and more people are giving discussions around it.
He got three dogs.
He got, he's a loner. He liked to talk to his mother every day. He's such a nice guy. He takes long
walks on the beach.
Other than the murders, perfectly good man. So they had a discussion on Fox, speaking of responsible platforms and how they deserve it. They want to talk about it.
Typical left-wing tactics. So is it? I mean, I think this was pretty predictable, Charles. You saw on Twitter a lot of people rushing to judgment. Yeah. The same people that hesitate using the phrase Islamic terrorism were very quick to use the term Christian.
You're absolutely right. In fact, Harris and I both, we covered this live on Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had to walk a very thin line, obviously. And, you know, you knew Planned Parenthood was there, but there were other businesses there. You kind of figured it was centered on this. And as soon as that was the case, you know, people were tweeting me the definitions of terrorism and those kind of things. But, I you know, when I listened to what Hillary said, from what I understand, people have an opposition, particularly some of the politicians, Republican politicians running for the White House, to the idea of taxpayers funding Planned Parenthood and abortion. They're not saying, hey, listen, the courts have ruled, perhaps they'll rule again in the future. They're not saying, and you don't have to like abortion, but they're saying there's no way in the world that taxpayer money should be used for that, particularly when they're talking about selling baby parts. And that's neither one, Bernie Sanders or Hillary, those clips we saw, both very disingenuous, and that's what stokes these kind of, these flames of hatred and anger.
And it was quite the leap, too, as you point out, to talk about a shooting and then link that somehow to women not being able to get abortions. Harris, you were on this story from the minute it broke in the Fox News desk, and you stayed with me. I know you stayed with Charles, was filling in for Greta Van Susteren, and when you and I were doing the news, they got the guy. But at the same time, I'm waiting
really
to go on
afternoon.
Air. But Harris, it was, they were not releasing information, and yet people had already jumped to conclusions, and they were indicting an entire religion, Christian, white, Republican, before we even got details.
Is this opposite day? It is really like they are making the exact opposite points of after France, and they were going, you know, Muslims.
Because he was white and he's Christian, so now we have to have empathy and sympathy.
Right. Now is not the time to jump to conclusions about his religious standing or his race.
Right.
Which both turned out to be, surprise, surprise, the same old, same old. What?
Susteren, and when you and I were doing the news, they got the guy. But at the same time, I'm waiting
really
to go on
afternoon.
Air. But Paris, it was, they were not releasing information, and yet people had already jumped to conclusions, and they were indicting an entire religion, Christian, white, Republican, before we even got details.
You know, and then you had the what I consider kind of the reflexive for Democrats. They've shown that they'll talk about gun control almost immediately, so you had that as part of the conversation, too.
Well, I was just going to say that the pro-life...
That's so funny because I don't know, it's relevant.
Come on now.
Right? Well, here they go talking about gun control just because some people got shot up by a crazy person that probably shouldn't have had AK-47. Here they go with the bullshit. How come every time after some innocent people get shot, y'all won't talk about the guns?
Because the guns is killing folks, dog.
Can't you bring it up when nothing's going on, you know, in the 3 hours between gun shooting, mass shootings in America? Can you bring it up in the 3 hour lull between mass shootings? Because that would work.
Movement is a nonviolent movement. I mean, by definition, it's right. about finding nonviolent solutions.
It's about life.
It's about finding nonviolent solutions to unplanned or difficult pregnancies. So it's very cynical for them to tie that to the movement. And in fact, the officer who saved those lives happened to be pro-life himself. I think we make no mistake. I think this is about the upcoming hearings that are coming on the investigation on Planned Parenthood. And this is, they're deeply embarrassed about these videos. It pulled the curtain on what really happens in those back rooms of the abortion clinics. And that's what this is about. They want to muzzle us.
Well, and Sandra, it seemed like the left was saying, do not speak ill. You're not allowed to voice your opinion about the legal harvesting, the illegal, I should say, harvesting of baby parts on the off chance that some lunatic.
The problem I have about this, they keep acting like that fucking video is fact.
And they keep fucking, they're the ones who were promoting it in the first place as if it were fact. And they keep harping on it. They won't back down on this shit, despite this motherfucker shooting up a clinic based off of exactly what he's heard on this news source and others. suddenly that, you know, before it was Netta and DeRay need to apologize for police officers being shot. Now it's even in the case where a police officer faked the shooting and killed himself. Now all of a sudden, none of that shit matters anymore. Oh my God.
Out there might hear that rhetoric and decide to go shoot up at a clinic. To me, it was such a bizarre but yet predictable jump for them. But well, now they've jumped to the conclusion, Charles, and it's political season, and this checks three boxes for liberals, right? Instead of going after Islamic terrorism, they can try and say that there's now this ongoing threat of Christian terrorism. They can talk about gun control. They can talk about abortion, their favorite issues. But how can you conflate a murderous cult, Islamic cult, yeah, terrorizing the Middle East and the United States and any Western country and some crazy man?
Well, the terror
already hitting me. Oh, he's just an isolated lone wolf crazy man by himself. There's not a pattern of harassment and terrorizing of Planned Parenthood across the world,
right? They shut them down. They defunding them left and right. They make them buy his shit up just so they can say shit. And yeah, this whole thing just makes me mad because she was some of their favorite things to talk about. Shit, this affects people. That's why they talk about it. My right to have an abortion matters.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's different because it's a white man being mad. Now, ISIL shut down women's health clinic like a week after America, after that, many Republicans defunded Planned Parenthood in America. But, you know, hey, sometimes you gotta get on the same page, right?
Rising the world. The other side of this, guys, you know, what about Harris when they brought in those military-style vehicles to help get those people to safety? We're talking about disarming our police. Mm-hmm. We're talking about demilitarizing our police because it's not right for them to have those kind of things.
He was shooting at police officers.
And also, what if more people had guns there, guys? What if people could have defended themselves?
It may have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
But they don't want to talk about that.
People dead? What the fuck is wrong with people? Have a fucking shootout. That's what you want. Do they not understand more guns just mean more people get shot?
We need to get the guns, Karen. That's the problem.
The bullets need bullets.
Yeah, you know, because it's all coincidence that, you know, racism apparently is not part of any type of code or anything like that.
Right, just... and any gun owner, as a responsible gun owner, tells you the last thing they want to motherfucking do is pull their goddamn gun out. That's the last thing they want to do. That's not the first thing to do.
The former wife of the Planned Parenthood terrorist is saying that he is conservative, religious, and anti-abortion. Oh, wow. Surprise. Next, you're going to tell me he's white? Yep. Robert Lewis Deere, 57, is the lead that entered Planned Parenthood and on Friday has shot it up. Deer allegedly shot and killed three people, including a police officer, and wounded five others. The motive for the rampage, however, is unclear.
It's funny how a lot of times they can come out and tell you the shit that they do, and everybody acts like, oh, we don't know. I killed them because I hate niggas and I hate killing babies. Well, back to you, Bob. We still don't know why, you know, he killed, you know, we don't understand.
I am definitely
why.
Racist. That's what I know. Ma'am, we can't hear over him talking about his motives, but.
Back to you, Jim. I'm a member of the KKK.
It would be interesting to know why he did it. No more baby parts. Wow. We'll just never have the answer.
We'll never know the reasons why he came to this conclusion.
Maybe we can study his brain after he dies and we'll figure it out then.
Right. Fuck you.
Yeah, apparently he said no more baby parts. In his rambling interview, Deere also mentioned President Barack Obama. And he said, but other sources told NBC that it's clear whether he targeted the clinics because of abortions. In 1997, his wife, Pamela Ross, ex-wife, I guess now, once called the police to accuse him of domestic violence. Ross said that Deere had been having flashes of anger, but usually he would later apologize. Deere was politically conservative, religious, owned guns, and believed that abortion was wrong, but he was not obsessed with any of these issues. It never, ever, ever, ever crossed my mind that he would be capable of mass shooting. My heart just fell to my stomach, she says. After their divorce in 2000, amicable divorce, in a series of trailer homes and remote cabins, mostly keeping himself is where he lived. For a time, he lived in a tiny shack outside the small town of Black Mountain, North Carolina. Oh, shout out to North Carolina. Making the news all over the place these days. The wrong kind.
That's the truth.
He was the kind of person you had to watch out for, a neighbor told the Washington Post. He was a very weird individual. It's hard to explain, but he had a weird look in his eyes most of the time. He also was accused at least 7 times of arguing or fighting with neighbors, including a peeping Tom charge. So yeah. Some people said he seemed okay to me. All right, yeah, okay. Well, hey, who knows, man? You know, he's weird, but it's just shocking to all of us that he would just do something crazy.
Yeah, he's not black, so he didn't raise flags, and not brown, so he didn't raise flags. There was no reason for alarm.
Right, yeah, I don't understand what the problem is on that joint, so there we go. The New York Times wrote a piece on the shooter, and they first described him as gentle. And they took it down because they got called out. Yep. Evidence reveals that Minneapolis protest shooting suspect is apparently a racist scaredy cat, Karen. That's right.
Scaredy cat.
This afternoon, prosecutors announced felony charges against 4 defendants in the last week's shooting at Black Lives Matter protests in Minneapolis.
Get them out.
A criminal complaint for one of the alleged shooters reveals he is exactly the pants-wetting idiot one would expect. According to the complaint against Alan Lance Scarsella, above right, his phone contained racist images and many photos of himself with guns. When police searched it after his arrest last week, Scarsella accused, along with Nathan Gustafson, Daniel Mackey, and Joseph Backman, in connection with the shooting of 5 people at the scene of the protest against the police killing of Jamar Clark in Minneapolis on the evening of November 23rd. The victims, all black men, were hospitalized with 9 life-threatening injuries. Scarsella will be charged with 5 counts of second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon and 1 count of second-degree riot while armed, and the other 3 men will only receive the riot charge. Much of the evidence suggested the shooting was racially motivated. In a video from earlier in this week, a man who was questioned and released regarding the incident can be seen brandishing a gun, saying "stay white" and referring to black people as dindus while driving to the scene of ongoing protests. The complaint against Scarsella alleges that he is the second masked man in the video, a claim that Gawker and others also floated after the shooting. The alleged shooters talked a big game before going out that evening on the 23rd, according to the complaint against Scarsella. "I know how to make big news or get them to disperse," says Nathan Gustafson, above left, allegedly texted his fellow defendant Scarsella. "I have an idea to really stir shit up." However, it seems just as likely that whoever pulled the trigger did so out of racist fear at being confronted by a real live black person, not some sinister plot. After the shooting, Scarsella allegedly confessed to an officer with the Mankato, Minnesota Police Department with whom he was friendly, who urged him to turn himself in to Minneapolis cops. On the phone, that officer said that Scarsella was very frightened. The Mankato officer also told the Minneapolis police that Scarsella was a pro-constitution sovereign citizen who had negative opinions about African Americans. That's the nicest way to say a bigot and a racist.
Right. I've never heard that version.
Yeah. They also were posting, and I think we read the post last week about the whole, you know, Black Powder Ranger was one of them, has been captured in the news of his execution date by Watermelon/Basketball America mob. Beating will be announced at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. Why did they seize his computer? So I just put fuck. Holy shit, they announced bail for him at 500K. Kickstarter win, 250K for the other guys. So, yep. They caught him in gay charges. Apparently, they left clues and incriminating text on their 4chan message board and a bunch of other shit, too. According to documents released by the Minneapolis Star Tribune, they were apprehended and charged in Hennepin County, Minnesota, after searches of phone and computer records found ample evidence to provide probable cause for the arrest. Investigators viewed a 4chan website email stream where participants discussed going to the Black Lives Matter protest to stir things up and cause commotion. Participants were encouraged to dress normal and look like the protesters, but were told to feel free to carry. Investigators also watched a video made by Scarsella and an acquaintance in which they repeatedly used the N-word and urged viewers to stay white as they discussed their plan to disrupt Black Lives Matter. On November 24th, the day after the shooting, officers arrested Scarsella and viewed the contents of his phone, which showed he was in the area of the shooting when the events took place. The phone's messages showed extensive text correspondence between the four defendants outlining details of their plans to disrupt the protests and their communications after they shot five protesters.
Wow. Text message get you every time.
Yeah, they ain't watch Snapped, I guess.
Mm-mm, up in that cloud.
The phone also contained photos of the defendants wearing camouflage gear, posing with Confederate flags and numerous weapons. Huh, sounds a lot like dude that shot up that church. But hey, there's no need to look into white males. There's no need to look at their culture. There's no need to go to their churches. There's no need to worry about, immigration or screening them or tougher gun laws. Everything is going according to plan. Guys, don't worry about it. Witnesses described the shooters in November 23rd confrontation as dressed on camouflage gear and hiding their faces. All four men are currently in custody. They have admitted in phone conversations from jail that they were present at the shooting incident. Scarsella has not been charged with one count of second degree riot while armed. Has been charged with one count of second degree riot while armed. And well, we went into the So anyway, they caught those motherfuckers. Good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we knew they were coming in alive. Just put it that way.
That's the truth.
All right, let's see what else is going on. Oh, that dude that his name looked like Fuck That Bitch.
Mm-hmm.
He admits that his name is a prank after his Facebook prank went viral. Ain't that messed up, though? I feel like it's messed up.
I do, too.
All those people that, you know,
supported him.
Yeah. Right. And then, you know, it's like, hey, man, people had different names and their Asian names and stuff. And
right.
He was trying to get like Vietnamese, giving names and surnames out there to the world to stop stereotyping. And then he, of course, turns out to be lying. Yep. So, yep. Good for you, buddy, I guess. He said his post, the first of which dates back to January, had made a fool of the media and brought out the best in people who reached out to me. The user, who says he's Australian, had even posted a picture of his passport to prove that he was not lying, with hundreds of people leaving supportive comments and more than 45,000 people now following his public post. Facebook needs to understand that it is utterly impossible to legitimize a place where they will always be pranksters and tricksters, he said.
You're an ass.
Right, he's trying to act like he proved a point. Like, just trying to help society out.
You're an ass, and it's sad, but all you did was Facebook was like, bitch, we was right. You have no business go up there, no way. And what's fucked up, you do have people with weird names like that that they block.
Right. It's just whack.
Right.
So there's this porn actor, James Dean, who a lot of, I think, mostly white women, but I don't know what the sisters are feeling out
Ain't
there.
Ain't that actor named James Dean?
Yeah, but his name is spelled D-E-E-N.
Oh, okay. Okay. And not Dean, like the Dean of School. The
right,
of school,
right.
Boy.
And then, of course, you know, he's a porn star. A lot of porn stars have names after famous people. That's nothing.
My bad.
So he's a porn star named James Dean, and he's been accused twice now in the last, 48 to 72 hours of assault.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Who he beating up?
Huh?
Who he beating up?
Well, I'm getting to that. Stoya was one of them. She's a porn actress, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she was his ex-girlfriend. And she accused him of rape on Twitter.
Oh, ouch.
On Twitter, she tweeted, "That thing where you log on into the internet for a second and see people idolizing the guy who raped you as a feminist. That thing sucks. James Dean held me down and fucked me while I said, no, stop, use my safe word. I just can't nod and smile when people bring him up anymore." And Joanna Angel, who's also a porn star, responded to her, "You have my support, at Stoya. I'm here for you." And then at the time, he hadn't responded to the claims, you know, at the time. And then he actually had a blog that, well, it was a column, and it was kind of, the way it was done was that this woman would call him, talk to him on the phone, and then transcribe his answers into a column, right? And it was like him giving advice on love and stuff from a guy's perspective, and sex and stuff. And it was on a feminist website, so she decided to stop dealing with him altogether.
Can you blame her?
No, I mean, even if it just being an accusation, it's very hard to be like, fuck this woman, she can't prove it, the end of, I'm gonna keep dealing with this person. You know, if, especially if you're a person that, you know, believes when women do accuse people that more than likely it is true. Right. And especially in light of the fact that he had nothing to say right away.
Come on now.
That was just like a kind of, like, you're stuck in limbo, and I know she had the pressure mounting. And to be honest, it's a business. It's not the court of law. It's still a business. Like I said, as a product creator, that's typically how I look at shit. It was just very unpopular to have him do that shit. You know, it's not like they were friends and buddies. It was kind of like, all right, so now I'm going to have this piece.
Right. Well, you make
every month where people going to be fucking like, how you call yourself a feminist and you just support this guy, no questions asked.
Right. You don't make that much money off of this bullshit.
Right. And all she was doing was tagging a link to his website at the end of the article. So it wasn't even like she was making a lot of money off of it, it seems.
Right.
Well, now a second actor accused him of sexual assault Sunday night.
Oh.
Tori Lux, who describes herself as a former adult performer, and said the actor James Dean ruthlessly attacked and degraded me on the set of a film in 2011.
A porn set, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The accusation was just like another film she was just filming.
Right. I want to be
she
sure.
She just showed up. The accusation follows a claim by Stoya, an actor who used to date Dean, who said that she was sick of seeing people idolize a guy who raped her as a feminist. Dean heartily denies Stoya's charges, calling them false and defamatory, and wrote, "I respect women, and I know and respect limits both professionally and privately. One of porn's few mainstream stars, especially among male actors, Dean has been profiled in outlets ranging from GQ to BuzzFeed, and he co-starred with Lindsay Lohan in the 2013 movie The Canyons. His spokesperson didn't immediately respond to an inquiry about Lux's claim that he hit her in the face and sexually assaulted her.
I know this might sound stupid, but I have a question about Dean. Is he, does he performs too, or is he?
Yeah, he's a porn star. Like, he has sex.
Okay, so he's not like the cameraman or behind the scene director, nothing like that.
I think he directs, he does all that stuff for himself.
Okay. You know. Okay, because that's what I thought. I was like, what I thought? Okay, that makes sense.
My name is Tori Lux. I'm a former adult performer. In June 2011, while shooting at a major porn studio, I was assaulted by James Dean. While James wasn't performing with me that day, he was present on set. Almost immediately after I finished my scene, James began to antagonize me. I hadn't even had time to dress myself when he asked with a smirk on his face, "Tori Lux, would you like to sniff my testicles?" "Nope," I responded. I replied in a neutral tone. "I'll repeat myself. Tori Lux, would you like to sniff my testicles?" He asked more aggressively. This time, I replied with a firm no in order to establish my boundary, which James then disregarded by grabbing me by my throat and shoving me down onto the onto a mattress on the floor. He then straddled my chest, pinning me down my arms and with his knees, and raised my hand above my head, swinging it down and hitting me in the face and head with an open palm. He did this 5 or 6 times hard and finally got off of me. I stood up disoriented, my jaw sore, and before I could collect myself, he grabbed me by my hair, shoved me to my knees, forced my face into his crotch several times before shoving me to the floor. I was completely stunned, having no idea how to react. I felt pressured to maintain a professional demeanor, this being a major porn set with other people present, and failing to intervene. A few people who I've shared this story with over the years have asked me why I didn't call the police as soon as it happened or publicly speak up about it soon thereafter. The reason for that is because historically, people, including the police, tend to operate from the assumption that sex workers have put themselves in harm's way.
Right.
And therefore can't be assaulted, which is incorrect, as being involved in sex work does not equate being harmed. Despite porn being a legal form of sex work, and this occurring in a controlled environment such as a porn set, that mindset is still inherent in much of society. And in turn, sex workers are silenced and our negative experiences are swept under the rug, and simply trying to protect ourselves, the judgment of others, or worse, a variety of problems ranging from further physical attacks to professional problems such as slander and blacklisting. To put it simply, I was afraid.
Right.
We are forced to smile and pretend we're always in control and in love with our jobs, when in reality there's a multitude of experiences one can have on any given day, good, bad, or neutral, just like every other job. It's not black or white like people like to assume. My goal in writing this is not to paint the industry as a whole as oppressive or dangerous, but to shed some light on one fucked up personal experience of mine, which James Dean ruthlessly attacked and degraded me, leaving me with mental wounds that took years to heal. Hope to encourage you to read it to open your mind to the bigger picture regarding stigma and safety within the sex industry. Being silenced is what keeps sex workers in danger, and the stigma is what keeps sex workers silent. When they're attacked, it's a vicious cycle. And I hope we can work together towards humanizing one another and preventing instances like this from continuing to happen. Now, for his part, he denies it. He tweeted out, there have been some egregious claims made against me on social media. I want to assure my friends, fans, and colleagues that these allegations are both false and defamatory. I respect women, and I know and respect limits both professionally and privately.
I don't believe you.
You don't believe him? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. I just know the odds of two different women accusing you of that shit.
I don't believe you.
Like, when it's one and it's like you don't have, like, it's no other behavior and shit, like, it's kind of he said, she said, and you just don't fucking know who to believe in that shit. I get that. No one wants to say a man is guilty when they're just because for being accused, because everybody's like, life is the court of law. Like, we've been so conditioned to that. I get the uncomfortableness there. But two dogs, like,
and there's other women, and they're not saying anything.
Yeah, who knows what who else is gonna come for?
Right,
who,
I think other women are gonna come for. That's why I say I do not believe you, sir.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Especially in that industry, like somebody saying that you picked the perfect victim because you picked somebody that has sex for a living, so people automatically discredit everything they say.
And he's promoting himself as like I said, this is why I don't ever want to be the guy for shit. Like, you like, people that want to be the guy typically seem to be fucked up. You know what I mean? All the people that are sitting around like, yeah, I want to be considered the go-to person on this topic. It's like, that person is almost always, like, fucking up somewhere else in the background.
They are, and somebody said that they fired him from his set studio.
Oh, they did? Wow. Yeah. Plus, that's the other thing. It's a business. His appeal was being the nice porn guy. As odd as that may sound to people. But that was his thing. So...
Right, and whoever the people is, they're like, hey, dog, they come to watch the women. They don't come to see their bodies mangled up. And actually, for porn, especially straight porn, don't nobody give a fuck about the men. We are not there to see the men. We are there to see the women. So you fucking it up, it's fucking it up for you. And in especially straight porn, women make all the money. Men are just extras in the scene.
Right. So, yeah, he's done on these streets then. Because I don't know how he's going to get back into the industry.
I wouldn't hire him.
Yeah, I don't know how you get back in the industry acting like that's all good. You know what I mean? So, all right, let's do some Baller Alert. I feel like black people have been fucked with enough.
Yeah, about to get 100. Yeah. No reason to do that.
All right, so here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yo, I'm looking for a 5-star kid's life. Got it, here go 12 bars. Gucci man got 9 cars. We don't call them down no more. Oh, now we call them 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star click. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay her bills, get her hair fixed, might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super hot. Do not need her, will not give her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, B, your man is a scrub. See, she love me now, she love you not. Now all my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call up Gucci girl and beat me. And you
can find a five-star hotel you can be. Five-star bitch, that's a five-star. And that's a five-star. And that's a five-star. And if your credit go high, these nails stay fly. Keep your juice box wet and your head something fire. You a five-star. And you a five-star.
All right. Here are your choices, chat room. Number one, Groupie Tales. I definitely enjoyed Fetty Wap's company. Number two, Groupie Tales, another Ricardo Lockett tale. Number three, Groupie Tales, my first night with Hakeem Warwick. And finally, number four, Tony Rock's Groupie Story. Tally the votes, Karen.
You a five-star bitch, you a five-star bitch. I want a five-star bitch, I need a five-star bitch. I need a five-star bitch, I want a five-star bitch.
It's your boy, Yo Gotti, I do grade A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and it's the remix. And I'm still out here looking for a five-star chick. When I catch her, I'ma bless her with a five-star kick. She a natural born hustler, she ain't chasing no suckers. On a natural real nigga, she ain't never fuck the bosses. So your cars and your jewelry, that she really don't excite her. You're creating assholes in the club, won't fight
her. Number one, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everybody wants to hear what's going on with Fetty. Young Mr. Wap, as some people call him.
A Wap.
Mr. Wap. Fetty Wap. All right, yeah, so Groupie Tales,
it's
of course you guys.
It's Wap.
Hmm?
I said it's spelled Wap.
Mm-hmm. Groupie Tales, of course, young enterprising ladies sleep with famous people and give us the deets. Did you miss the Groupie Tales? Well, they're back. Just in time for the holidays. Were you considering becoming one of Fetty Wap's trap queens? Read the Groupie Tale below and see if it is worth it. Disclaimer, Groupie Tales are submitted by our readers who cannot confirm 100% accuracy of any story posted. Have a Groupie Tale? Email 118@balleralert.com. You can remain anonymous. This is what happened between Fetty Wap and I. In October, I followed Fetty on Instagram. I only have approximately 25,000 followers. I'm an up-and-coming model, but not very popular. So I wasn't expecting any attention from him. Some days pass, and I got a follow back. Also, he liked about 3 or 4 of my pictures. Mm-hmm. I even got an email from him later on. Guess that booking info in my bio came in handy for something. Never thought he'd go... Oh, wait, hold up. Never thought he'd go for a white girl, but here I am. Okay. Talking to him, I won't detail our conversation, but long story short, he decided he wanted to fly me out to his city. I was beyond excited, and this was an opportunity for me. So when I got to Jackson, I called him, and he said he called an Uber for me. I was brought to a hotel room, only to be surrounded by a whole bunch of his friends, a few known video vixens, and drugs. I'm not a drinker or a smoker, so I wish he would have warned me first. He grabs my waist and tells me he's happy I'm here. We leave this room and talks to me in this hallway, and he was basically asking what I was down to do, and I asked him what he meant by that. I automatically knew he wanted to smash off the bat, but I was beating around the bush. He instead just told me to come inside and chill with everyone. So I was in this like little multicolored dress, and his friend looked at me and he said the dumbest shit like, damn, Snow Bunny got a fat ass. I know there's gold at the end of that rainbow. Ah! Fetty just looked at him like, chill, and ended up asking him to leave. He was whispering to me most of the time, telling me I look good and whatnot. Fast forward, everyone leaves, so now it's me and Fetty. He slapped my ass and he pulled up my dress. I knew what time it was. I ended up pulling my dress all the way up and getting on top of him. I slid my hand down his Fendi boxers and pulled his dick out. I'm jacking him off and he's moaning, so I know he's loving it. By the way, why didn't she say cock? Is this a white woman for real? I started sucking him off, and that drove him crazy. He had his hand on my head, pulling my hair, and was moaning. He said, choke on it. And I was trying my best to swallow it, but come on, his dick had to be at least 9 inches. I can't fit that in my throat. Anyway, after I asked him if he wanted his face rubbed, he said wait, pretty much, but instead flipped me on my stomach and was fucking me like crazy from the back. He grabbed my hair with one hand and slapped my ass with the other. It felt so damn good, but hurt too. He lasted a good 20 minutes, but I came before him, so I didn't care. I let him keep going until he got his nut. After that, I took a shower. He opened the door and got in with me. He lifted my leg on the little soap thing and ate my pussy. And he's a shit talker too. He was like, shit feels good, huh? You about to come, huh? Just being aggressive and nasty. And he was right. I did end up coming again. He took the soap and washed my body with it. I love having his hands on me. After that, he ordered us some room service and he flew me back to Portsmouth, Virginia the next day. I definitely enjoyed Fetty's company. <Let's look> The chat room, I mean, the comments say, Sugar Bear says, Strux. Shy Breezy 91 says, don't feel special, girl. I'm quite sure you're not the only white girl he fucked. And I didn't hear nothing about a condom being used. Ew. That Fly Philly Diva said, no condom again? I can't with this because people are acting like HIV is not still out here along with the clap. Also, if you are going to be an up and coming model, aka escort, at least get paid purse first, ass last. And hating ass Terrell Jones, as of 7 hours ago, says, I've been a fan of Fetty Wap ever since he threatened to shoot his baby mama for playing games with him. I also like the fact he didn't use a condom because if these hoes ain't learned from Magic, Eazy-E, or Charlie Sheen by now, they deserve that slow death package. Me personally, if I was Fetty Wap, I would have made her lick my dead eye.
Oh.
Got a job in Dallas, Texas, if you move to the seat. If you ain't a five-star, shorty, go ahead and face it, face. Duke and fake, new and shorty, that'll make your base. It ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star, it ain't a five-star. See, I'm a five-star bitch, cause I ain't that other bitch. She be struggling for hers from the womb, I been rich. I ain't gotta talk about the money and the shoot game. All you gotta do is Google Trina, see the fruit, man. These hoes doing shows in the recession. The cars get declined, now they suffering the depression. While they spending meals, selling all kinds of deals. I'm a five-star bitch, eating five-star meals. My whole lifestyle like coming to America. All my Louis luggage, see my bag, how I carry her. Walking through the airport like I'm in a parade on my hologram. Logging on the E-Trade. All right, let's play some Guess the Race.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going on across podcast land. We read and play news articles from all around the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Ooh, this is a doozy. This is a terrible story. A preacher is accused of beating, robbing, and raping escorts at area hotels.
Oh!
A preacher. Mm-hmm. In Maryland. See if we can play this for everybody.
Now, ABC 7 News at 6:30 on your side.
A preacher is in jail tonight charged with robbing, beating, and raping call girls he hired on multiple occasions. Police say the late night attacks took place at hotels in Montgomery County. And ABC 7's Montgomery County reporter Kevin Lewis is live in Rockville with the story you will only see on 7. Kevin?
Hi there, Kelly. Three escorts attacked in a short period of time. One at this Radisson Hotel. Police were growing quite concerned, but then a big break. They tracked a cell phone number via pawn records to a man who takes his time preaching the good word. This is Gabe Amagbo, a man accused of trying to kill escorts in Rockville. Police say Amagbo would troll Backpage.com, where he'd broker prostitution deals. Attacks 1 and 2 at this Best Western Plus. Here, Amagbo allegedly raped and robbed two call girls he'd met online. Attack 3 at this Radisson Hotel near Shady Grove Hospital. Investigators say Amagbo, seen here preaching the gospel at the Celestial Church of Christ in Riverdale, had consensual sex with an escort behind this hotel door. But then, the self-proclaimed man of God allegedly snapped, pulling out a kitchen knife and telling the escort, quote, "You are going to die today." Amagbo went on to beat the woman's face, cut her arms, legs, and hands, and steal her iPad, cell phone, and $300 in cash. But before fleeing, the preacher handed the woman a cup of cold water to drink. Amagbo, who's 33, was living in his Hyattsville apartment with his parents.
Oh, I'm scared.
This girl lives two floors down.
Like, almost every Saturday, all the girls are running around here, and we let them go outside by themselves. He could have done anything to them. Or any of us, or me. That's terrible.
And just when things were unsettling enough, court records show Amagbo went away from the pulpit, worked as a security guard. No word on his alleged motive here. If convicted, he could spend the rest of his life in prison. We're live in Rockville. I'm Kevin Lewis, ABC 7 News.
Wait, alleged motive for a rapist? Do we need, is that a thing we're doing now?
I hope not.
Anyway, guess the race, chat room, see what they say. Celestial Church of God, obviously black. A preacher named Slickback, African booty scratcher. FAMOG, fake ass man of God, black. He was into adult women, therefore black, not white. Robbed her too, tar and feathers, black. Heard the hoes drank at Starbucks and needed to wash that semen away with water, black. Nigerian. Aww. Everybody got this one right, black. Yo, that dude, he was a pastor, like, self-proclaimed, like, is anyone at his church?
Oh, self-proclaimed, that means he ain't have a license, that's what that means.
Yeah, what is that? Okay, is that what that means?
Right, okay. Which means you didn't go through, like, they have, like, a certain kind of, I want to say ceremony, but certain things that you have to go through and certain studying you have to do and shit like that. He was like, fuck it, I'm a preach.
Okay, all right. A middle school teacher has been disciplined but not fired for his unapologetic remarks about his students. Breast.
Okay.
Anand Boodram, a 7th and 8th grade English teacher. Oh, 7th and 8th grade. Wow. At MS 206 in the Bronx, told a student in class, "Your boobs are staring at me," according to a disciplinary decision with the state.
Oh.
He told another one, "Those things are bothering me." And a third, "Your friends are staring at me."
Friends?
And we know those big, giant 7th and 8th grade titties that you just can't avoid staring at as a teacher and you have to let them know. You know how that's totally appropriate to do,
right,
as a teacher.
Some shit that they're just now learning how to deal with it. Yeah, I mean, their mind fucking came overnight.
It's not an awkward time in a woman's life at all.
I go
in
from
a girl's life,
flat chested to titties, and I don't even know how to handle it.
Right, and I'm willing to bet probably didn't even matter what kind of, how big their titties were, what they had on. Probably just sit up there like, "Hey, awkward person going through an awkward transition in your time."
Right, I know you got look those hormones titties going on, bitch, but look at them titties.
Hearing Officer Donald Kinsella slap the 13-year-old veteran teacher with a $7,500 fine and 10 hours of sensitivity and anti-sex harassment training after a 9-day administrative trial.
Not fired.
Which means not fired, Karen. It remains to be seen if the teacher learned his lesson. Do you understand that referring to a female student's breast as things or friends is inappropriate? Boodram was asked in a hearing. His reply was, "No. I did not understand that then, and I really do not know if it is. I mean, the way I see it is not, but I could be wrong." Who knows, right?
Why does he still have his job? See, this is why I'm glad I don't have children, because, see, somebody like me and just my personality, I'd be so fucking dogmatic to be sure that he is fucking fired. No, you will not do this to any other children.
He made $85,110 last year. He also posted on Facebook last week that the trial was inherently biased against the teacher. That seems like it should be a violation of some type.
You make that much money, you don't have the fucking common sense not to know the basic answer to that question?
It matters not how fabulous a defense you mount. You never get off scot-free, he wrote. Kinsella also found that Boodram, 58, inappropriately rubbed a girl's back, hugged a girl chest to chest, and pulled on another's ears, causing the student pain.
But he still has his... That's what I'm not comfortable.
This sounds like what another seventh grader would do to a girl to awkwardly try to get up on her, and that would still be wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? But this sounds like he was pulling her bra strap. He put some gum in her hair. You know what I mean? It sounds like that kind of immature shit, but he's a fucking teacher. He's supposed to be in charge.
Right.
Boudram, a native, oh, I won't tell you where he's from, but there you go. Who served 6 years in the United States military before attending City College of New York, admitted during the trial he made the comments and expressed regret. He said students were not adhering to the school's dress code and he was trying to get them to cover up.
That's not the proper way to do it, though.
Oh, he's a native of Guyana. Guyana, I don't know what that is. When one girl wore an open sweater over her shirt, he stared at her breast and closed her sweater with a paper clip.
You touched my fucking child?
He just wanted to touch them titties so bad.
Right.
Boudram had received all satisfactory ratings. How? Principal David Nearing was once quoted as praising him. He does an excellent job establishing relationships and bonding with kids. He knows, they know that he cares about them. No, he cares about them titties.
Right. He's been doing this bullshit for years.
But several girls testified that despite helping them academically, he made them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
The Department of Education removed them from the classroom in February 2014 when the complaint service. After the ruling, he will be assigned to the absent teacher reserve, a pool of substitutes moved from school to school. So it's almost like when they reassign priests at Catholic churches. Where
right, you can't do it full time. We'll float you around. So then when you harass a child, we just want nobody to be able to recognize you because we don't push you on to another school.
Let's look at the guesses in the chat room. See what I mean? White man into little girls. Horchata drinker.
Oh.
He said boobs instead of titties white. Students remind him of his Jeep black. Oh, shit. What? Oh, they let that motherfucker perform at the Soul Train Awards. Goddamn R. Kelly.
For real?
Yeah. And people was arguing with me this morning. Or arguing, defending him. Talking about he a black man he persecuted. I was like, and his victims were black too. What about them?
Right.
Black girls ain't black too? They not possibly.
He peeing on people.
You think it's a coincidence that Daniel Hoscar and R. Kelly picked the same pool of victims? Think about it.
Because they know society don't give a fuck about brown women.
Right. Just like a season of Zari. Am I right, guys? Student reminded him of his Jeep black. He was on that Jared diet white. The privilege is strong with this one white. Used to seeing women in burkas, Arab, Saved by the Bell, South Asian without persuasion, oatmeal white, Arab, black, best friends with Jared white, Guyana equals black. Karen, I'm going to have to let you decide because, you know, I can never... This is a kind of close to call. What would you say a non-race is?
That's even hard right there.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. I got to decide. Okay. Put it back up.
All right. There's a lot of people depending on you.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't like your old granddad. I'm gonna go light-skinned black man.
Wow. I did not see that coming. A light-skinned black man. So if you guess black... And some of you missed it.
But a hairy chest.
I really expected you to go Indian or some type, but of course, Indian people do not have the same type of Al Sharpton to go to. Who they supposed to go to? Deepak Chopra?
Think about it. Apparently so.
All right, bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round against the race. So far, everybody's all over the place. But we are going to go into the bonus round where you get double the points, double the racism right now.
Yep.
See if you guys are nervous. Family is shocked after son stabs parents over fast food.
Sad situation. Nobody expects this type of thing to happen to their family.
A holiday family gathering turned tragic for a West Bank family. Good evening and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Karen Swenson. Ton and Natalie are off tonight. A man is behind bars tonight after he allegedly stabbed his father to death and wounded his mother. Paul Murphy has more on the bizarre reason that led to the rampage.
This day of Thanksgiving turned into a day of horror for the family that lives in this home in the 800 block of Belmead Boulevard on the west bank of Jefferson Parish. According to the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, 32-year-old Ronald Pritchett stabbed his father, 58-year-old Percival Pritchett, last night around 7:30. JPSO spokesman Colonel John Fortunato says Pritchett turned violent after an argument over fast food.
He became so enraged over the fact that they didn't get any food for him that he went upstairs, kicked open the door to his parents' room, at which time then he began stabbing them both multiple times.
The elder Pritchett later died at a local hospital. His mother's stab wounds are mostly superficial.
A shocking situation.
The oldest son, Percival Pritchett Jr., says his father was a beautiful person.
When somebody takes your daddy's life completely short from what it was supposed to be, then you're not prepared for that. You know, he's not prepared for that because that's not how it was supposed to end.
Deputies say Ronald Pritchett stole his parents' SUV and drove it to his home near Hattiesburg, Mississippi after the stabbing. That's where he was arrested early this morning.
Our homicide investigators contacted the authorities in Purvis, asked them to do a disposition check at his residence. When they got to the residence, they discovered that the Chevrolet Suburban was, in fact, in the driveway there. And at some point in time, he was taken into custody.
Ronald Pritchett has waived an extradition hearing and was expected to be returned to Jefferson Parish as early as this afternoon. At the JPSO headquarters on the West Bank, Paul Murphy, Eyewitness News.
Now, the JPSO is expected to pick up Pritchett on Monday, and he's expected to be booked with second-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, and auto theft.
All right, guys. Time to guess the race of Ronald Pritchett. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White. Mother's wounds are superficial. Somebody snapped. White.
Oh, shit.
Percival is an old black sharecropping name, says Dion. They were fighting over the big piece of chicken, black. The Popeyes organization will drive a nigga to murder, says HC. Black. If somebody gave that nigger some vegetables sometimes, this would not have happened. They said 800 block equal black. The correct answer is black. Mm-hmm. And some of you missed it. Damn, that was some fast food.
Right.
I ain't a killer, but don't push me.
They stole that car and drove his ass home.
Burger King is like the sweetest joy next to getting pussy.
Goodness, and apparently we like to have rose tattoos between our eyebrows.
That's right. He was not the kind of, he didn't look like the kind of guy you wanted to not pass the Bojangles to.
Right.
All right, man. Last segment.
That one just sounded, he was crazy. I don't know what was.
That's right. Pass that chicken. Youth armed with sword and machete threatened female shop worker. A teenager carrying a machete is seen threatening a female shop worker while his accomplice armed with a sword steals cash, cigarettes, and alcohol. The pair, said to be age 16 and 18, had their faces covered and wore goggles when they entered the off license in Church Road, Mitcham, South London. The first suspect, wearing a backpack containing a sword, walks behind the counter while the second raises the machete and then appears to act as a lookout. He is then joining his accomplice behind the counter and lifting items from the shelves. The teen carrying the backpack was wearing a black jacket, black shoes, and black goggles. The other teen wielding the machete is described as being a thin build, around 5 foot 6 inches tall. He wore a black hat, black jacket, black shoes, and red goggles. Both wore gloves during the incident shortly after the 11 p.m. on November 13th. Police have footage in a bid to identify the teenagers. Man, when you're working and those motherfuckers come in, you know you getting robbed.
Oh shit, you got a fucking register.
Right, sword or not. It's like, just take it, man. I don't want no problems.
Mm-mm.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.